Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Hey, you guys, remember that time Cameron Hughes, the man, the myth, the legend, came in here live and we did a wine tasting?
How could I forget? We got drunk with you.
Here's a taste of that.
Yeah, let's pour some wine for you guys. All right, so this is Santa Cruz Mountains. And we bought this from a winery up there, and it retails about $30-35 a bottle under their label. And folks, you know, wineries, they like to make more wine than they need, and it's agricultural business. You never know how much you're going to get. Certain years, right, the yields are low. But oftentimes in California, the weather's fantastic. You know, we knock it out of the park, right?
So that's like when they have a surplus, that's when you get that crazy like 80% off or whatever. Like
right.
You're able to.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And yeah. Even in the lean years, there's always wine to buy, right? And with our model, we can always save you a ton of money.
Yeah.
And it's really that simple.
Here's the other cool thing I found about the website, right, Trav? Even if you do know wine or you don't know wine, you're sort of like, I don't get what I'm buying exactly. Your descriptions are really like dead on. If you know, you know, the description is really, it's not like one line. It's really, you take your time, right?
If you're going to sell wine to people online, you need to appeal to their imagination, but you also need them to keep coming back. So accuracy is key. You've got to describe the style of the wine. I've turned people away from a lot of wines and said, no, you don't want that. That's not your style, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we do have an adventurous clientele, but we also have folks that want what they want year in, year out. They want that Arroyo Seco Chardonnay. They want that,
yeah,
you know, tropical fruit bomb, big vanilla,
big
style,
buttery,
right? So we have the spectrum, right? Again, like it's your corner wine shop. We run the gamut of different flavors.
This is why you remind me of in person my best wine shops, because the best wine shops here, first of all, nowhere near your prices. Like, I know the wines I buy I'm sure there's some of the same ones, nowhere near your prices, but they're good like that in that they don't always steer you to the best wine people don't always steer you to the most expensive. They're like, right, do you like that? No, that's, you know, for the price, our staff likes this. I mean, that's kind of what you do.
Yeah,
right?
And it's not about, you know, the wine shop is about consistent quality over time. It's not about the same wines all the time, right? And right, that's how we are. There are right, certain wines like our Arroyo Seco Chardonnay that we pretty much have year in, year out. But the rest of the portfolio it's a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
They're here today, gone tomorrow. Get them while you can.
Oh, no.
And it's
trust
a lot
me
of fun. It's a great adventure.
Wine. For a limited time, save up to 15% off with one of the new Radio Mix sampler packs and get free shipping. Go to chwine.com/Stephanie or text my name, Stephanie, to 511-511. 15% off and free shipping. What? Text my name, Stephanie, to 511-511 or go right to chwine.com/Stephanie. And now, Matt Walsh. It's Matt Walsh. Happy, happy hour. Matt Walsh from
fucking
Veep.
A.
From Veep.
Feels good to say curse words.
I know.
Openly. Just right out of the gate. Fucking A.
Fucking A, man. And you're the guy that squares the least on Veep, right?
No, I think Sam Richard's character is pretty sweet. The, you know, Richard. He's pretty sweet. He probably curses the least.
This is so fantastic. We ran
you're a fan of Veep, I think, right?
Yes, a little bit.
Everyone, yeah.
We have so many 1 degrees of separation. Let's get started. First of all, I lived in Chicago.
Sure, so, you sound like it.
Cubs win! Cubs win! I'm Harry Carey! No?
That's pretty good.
Thank you. All right.
That's pretty good.
You know, it's been a few years. It was late 80s. Or no, mid-80s. Mid-80s, I did Morning Drive WCKG 105.9.
Oh, my God. I probably listened to you.
Miller and Howell in the morning, everybody.
84-ish, you said?
I'm going to say 86, 87.
Yeah? I was there?
Yeah. Let me tell you who won the... Every year, the contest at what weight is fridge going to come into training camp at? Me. What weight is Refrigerator Perry going to be in training camp?
302, 310.
Yeah. If you were always good, if you were just a little over three.
Yeah, he was the first 300-pounder in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now it's very common.
He was the fattest fuck ever. It was fantastic.
Yeah. Big man.
Yeah. That was fun. I love when they go, oh, this is good this year. He's only like 310.
Can I ask you, what song do you think you got sick of when you were at WCKG? Like, what song were they really hit all the time? You're like, really, guys? We got to play this one again?
Well, do you want to hear the number of times I did the joke? They ain't related, but they do be brothers. Here comes a long train running, everybody. WCKG, what a 5.9, home of rock and roll, Miller and Howell in the morning.
Still in there. It's still in there.
Yeah.
It's like muscle
80s
memory.
DJ never leaves you, Matt Walsh.
Thank you for that. I enjoyed that.
But you know, it is weird because I know you are a big sports guy, a podcast, but I don't know what it is. I grew up in Buffalo, so we love our Bills.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, OJ was the star when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Like, go, Juice. How fantastic is he? Oh, he's just going to be.
That didn't turn out well, that life.
Nothing from Buffalo does.
Oh.
But no, but well, I was saying, but Boston sports crazy, but Chicago, there was just something about Chicago. I never missed a Bears game when I was there, and I didn't even follow football.
I know.
Right?
People socialize around sports, so it's not like you're necessarily a football fan now. It's just like, we're all going, dummy. Come on, there'll be food and beer, and... the TV will be on in the background. So it's a reason to gather. And it's very unifying, especially when they win. Like, the whole city comes out. And it's weird, too, because I noticed in L.A., like, of course they got the Chargers and the Rams, and they got the Lakers and the Clippers. Like, it splits the city.
Yeah.
Like, you need one football team. Like, you need one thing to unify. Like, the Celtics unify Boston. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, this is how I know what a, you know, for whatever reason about it, I'm a Chicago sports fan and also a traitor, is I went with all your Chicago friends, including my friend John, that I met you at his house, the Sean Caston
event.
Fundraiser, which we'll get to. Go Sean Caston, go
great
Cubs.
Congressman.
Go Cubs. Right, but anyway, I went to a hockey game. What is it? Blackhawks something?
Yeah. Blackhawks.
What's our team? I don't even fucking know. Who cares?
Kings?
Do we have a team? Kings. Yeah, right, Kings.
Yeah,
I'm gay. What do I know?
But I went
But
I went with all your Chicago friends and John. And I found myself cheering for the Black. I was like, yes, okay, yes, Blackhawks. What a bunch of pussies, these fucking Kings. There's no ice in L.A. It doesn't happen here naturally.
All imports.
So you reverted back to your Chicago loyalty? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I started cheering for the Kings. I was like, yay. Mm. And then, of course, they lost. Like, the fucking loser pussies they are. I was like, yay, Chicago. But I'm just telling you, there's something about Chicago and Chicago people that just make you breathe sports.
I think it's a drinking town, first of all, Chicago.
Well, that could be it.
Certain town. I feel like New York is a weed town. I feel like there's a lot more pot smokers in New York, or at least when I landed there. And Chicago was all about drinking. Like, the heaviest ever was when I was like touring for Second City in Chicago, and I was like 235 pounds, which is a lot of weight, a lot of beer weight. But... that being said...
That was your beer weight.
That was my beer weight. Yeah. So the socializing in Chicago, whether it's sports-related or not, is around alcohol. And alcohol always folds nicely into sporting events because of tailgating, because of skyboxes, because of that. So I think there's a perfect synergy of that. And also, the cold weather must have something to do with it.
It's like pregnancy weight, Matt. Beer weight is...
Yeah, you can lose it.
Right, it's
you
not.
Stop drinking.
It's not real weight.
Yeah. I agree with you.
Right. Okay.
I'm comfortable with taking his jacket off for you.
Can I just say that's why Chicago's such a great town? Because my dad ran with Goldwater in 64, and he was a congressman. He was chairman of the RNC. And they all went out drinking together all the time. And I'm telling you, alcohol is the lubricant of life. It's the lubricant of bipartisanship. They were all friends. They drank together. They made deals.
Yeah.
Trump doesn't drink. That's one of his problems.
Yeah. He doesn't have a dog.
Interesting point. That's a weirdo.
Doesn't have a dog. He doesn't drink.
Yeah,
fucking
that's kind
freak.
Of a weirdo. He's not like he put it down. He never picked it up. Right. I agree. I don't trust
right.
that.
No, I don't either. And he's
like my wife doesn't drink, but she had her dance with it, and she knows she shouldn't drink.
She has a reason.
Oh, that's
she
different.
Has a reason for.
I
not
respect
drinking.
That.
Yeah, I do too. But it is weird because like Teddy Kennedy and Jesse Helms used to drink in the
no,
Senate
Ted
Club.
Kennedy and
wait. Strom Thurmond.
No.
Yeah, it was Jesse
Tip
Helms.
Tip O'Neill.
No.
No.
The Republican
right.
guy, the basically the Confederate
No, yes,
dude.
Yes, yes, right. No, you're correct.
They would like they're diametrically opposed,
right.
but they would still like have a drink and find a way to like work some kind of deal together.
Who am I thinking because you know who's always stuck in my head is Chris Matthews, who's my spirit animal.
He was under Tip O'Neill. Chris Matthews.
Right, but
no.
isn't he always one yeah, he might my boss. They used to go out all the time with
yeah.
Who am I thinking of?
RGB and Scalia used to drink together.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Just saying. That's the Chicago.
But I mean,
yeah.
in the current climate, Republicans and Democrats never have drinks together. It seems like.
That's what I mean. We have gotten
and these
so
guys,
far from.
In the old days, who were like completely different.
Yeah.
You got Kennedy with somebody like, I think it was Strom Thurmond, probably.
Yeah.
Not Jesse Helms.
You know what we need? We need like a Jack Nicholson in the Senate. Just, you got a lot of bugs up your ass. Only a good drink can kill. You know what I mean? Something from terms of endearment, something. You got a big bug up your ass. Because they do. The Republican Party has a big traitorous bug up their ass. And it's just, it's the isn't it the worst you've ever seen? Because you've, I mean, it is interesting. People always ask you political questions because you're on a political show.
But I'm
you,
not.
But you've been political. I mean,
I'm reasonably political. Yeah. You could probably analyze and predict politics much better than I can. I am now more involved or more educated about politics. But again, I'm not like a Frank Rich or some of these guys who write on our show.
Right.
But it is a very dark time and a very bizarre sort of broken Congress.
Yeah.
In that there's no check and balance on the craziness of the executive branch.
Yeah.
Like you would expect some of those people. And McCain broke ranks, and that was kind of it's kind of neat to see the funeral and the sort of
yeah.
old school values and Michelle Obama getting a piece of
candy
from George Bush. Like
that's
those
very
things.
Veep. That was a Veep.
That was very Veep. Yeah. But it makes you nostalgic for sort of like
if she
civilization.
If she would have broken a tooth, that would be a Veep moment, right?
Yeah.
Right? So then had to leave.
Yeah. That would have been
I saw that you and Julia Louis-Dreyfus both retweeted that somebody put Trump trying to use the phone to call the Mexico president in the closing credits of Veep. And someone said, I'll just try this as an experiment. And Julia just tweeted, this experiment is a success.
Yeah.
You tweeted, this works.
It's really that's happened on a couple things that Trump did. The first one was when he signed a bill.
He didn't sign. He walked. He forgot.
Yeah.
Right. Everything they do fits either in the Veep closing credits or in a Curb Your Enthusiasm. Right?
Yes. Like,
Betsy DeVos trying to get in every doorway. Dun 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 dun. Dun.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, because you've been asked this a million times, but I. So you were, Mike, obviously your character is much more like Sean Spicer, who is just totally horrible and hapless. But Sarah Huckabee Sanders, isn't it sort of track with what's happened? Is she's just, what's the phrase I'm looking for, Travis? Just intrinsically evil? Is that what I'm looking for?
Yeah, she's an evil
Not
ninja.
Really funny anymore. Just at least Sean Spicer was like your character, kind of hapless and funny
yes.
and just pathetic and just like, oh, God.
There was a haplessness to Spicer, I agreed, which made him sort of likable a little bit.
Yes.
I agree with you. And Sarah Huckabee Sanders does not have that quality. She's very like, I don't know. They both work for the devil. Like I always
right.
was being compared to whatever, a year and a half ago when Spicer just started to my character who had existed for 5 years. People are like, are you doing Sean Spicer? And I'm like, no, he's his own
he's doing
hapless
you.
Wonder. Yeah. But they said, what would be your advice to Sean Spicer? And my advice was like, you can only work for the devil for so long, and then you have to quit. Like, you can't rationalize, like, this is a great opportunity. I've been knocking around the hallways
yeah.
of D.C. forever. Like, anybody would be a fool not to take this job. But at some point, if you're working for the devil or the worst
yeah.
president in history, you have to leave that job, right?
Yeah.
You have to quit that job to have any sort of moral, ethical standing. And it's the same thing with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Like, you're defending the devil. Like, I don't care
yeah.
if your conservative philosophy going in. Like, that guy is rotten. He's rotten.
Well, right. It's gotten to be like, oh, funny, not funny, terrifying. But we were just talking upstairs, Matt, about how this anonymous New York Times editorial is another Veep episode Where you're just like, it could be anyone because you're horrible and everyone hates you, but we don't know who it is.
You think it's Pence?
I do. I think it's coming from Pence's office.
I don't think it's. I think somebody who hates Pence framed him by putting him.
No,
no way.
Carl Frisch said the same thing. Who said it today? Who said it? Someone just said it today. They think it came from Pence's office, not from Pence, but it came from. I do suspect him. Carl Frisch said that, and someone else prominent said that too.
Yes, it was in your show prep for tomorrow.
Yes.
Who can say? I will find out in a second. Give me 1 second to look at the emails.
But yeah, that was a crazy, and that was all. That like broke DC yesterday. Apparently, all my friends and like really deep political minds were like going crazy about it because it's like
right on top insane. Of the, on top of the Woodward thing. I mean, it's just it's. I mean, that's the thing is, you feel like they ripped Veep off. It's hard to tell because you go like everyone is awful at their job. Like everyone is awful, and she is awful, and he's like you just. I mean, you almost feel like it's like House of Cards. You think it's probably wasn't even Kevin Spacey. We're just like, you know what? We can't. We're out. We can't write anything more evil than what's happening.
It was Omarosa that said it.
Yes. She said, and what's happening when Omarosa is saying the same shit that Bob Woodward is? So you're just like, she is, Bob Woodward is corroborating Omarosa. But it's the same.
It's a weird world, yeah.
I mean, it's all, I don't. There is no fiction anymore. I don't know where you guys are going this
it is
season, but good luck.
It is a challenge for the show because when the normalcy of what political satire was fractured when Trump came into office, it was more difficult. But fortunately, our last season was, she was in the private sector. She was starting her library. She was raising her foundation. So there was it was great to have that reprieve from the Oval Office because there was no way to understand that kind of craziness. Now that we're like almost 2 years out, I feel like this season I've seen more jokes where the writer's like, oh, that's good, because it does nail what's happening much better. But you need that time. You need that breath. You have to be able to step back, because when we were in it like a year ago, we were all like out of breath and like couldn't understand it.
Right. Well, you've talked about that some of it like wouldn't. I mean, we've talked to Rob Reiner about this. Like, some of this wouldn't pass the writer's room. Like, you were talking about, like, Spicer hiding in the bushes. You're like, no, that is something Mike would do. But you're like, no, we can see you. You're still there. Yeah. I think you said something about it's like being behind a clear plastic wall. Yeah. It's like
I think even Mike would have a better hiding spot. He might hide where you'd see his foot or something, but you wouldn't see the whole outline of the body or anything.
Spicer-shaped bush.
Yeah.
You're like, do you really not think everyone's going to use that Simpsons meme? Which is like, really?
Yeah.
Matt, let's pause briefly while we refill our Cameron Hughes wine glasses. Travis.
Yes.
I mean, have we said it enough? Ultra premium wine, half price. Not just half price, sometimes 40 to 80% off what you would pay for the exact same wine at retail.
That is absolutely insane.
Insane.
Are you going to tell me how cheap a bottle is?
Yes. I can't wait to scream it at you.
It's $14.99.
Cameron goes to all the best wineries, right? He brings you the best wines from around the world, cuts out the middleman, passes all that savings direct on to you. Check this out. One of the new 6 sampler packs, luxury mixed sampler, right? Regularly $97, only $81. How about the elegant red sampler? Regularly $101, only $85.
That's what I want. I love a red wine.
Did I mention these prices are insane?
You're killing me.
Okay. We have not found one we don't like yet, right?
Yeah.
You will love his wine. He guarantees. His name's on the bottle. He guarantees it 100%. Stands behind every bottle of wine he sells. Check this out. For a limited time, save up to 15% off with one of the new Radio Mix sampler packs. Plus free shipping. Go to chwine.com/Stephanie or text my name, Stephanie, to 511-511. 15% off free shipping. What are you waiting for? I'm sorry. Was I getting overly aggressive? chwine.com/Stephanie. And what's the best food to pair with Cameron Hughes wine? Sunbasket.
Maybe something you prepare yourself, nice and fresh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you mean quick chicken larb lettuce cups with carrot and fresh mint, which I just made?
What?
Yes.
That sounds ridiculous and delicious.
And healthy, right?
Yeah.
And it was easy, and it's fresh, and my kitchen smells fantastic.
And it probably didn't take a long time.
20 minutes? Thanks for asking. Did I talk over you? I can't help it. I get so excited. I know before you have the question that I have to answer you. 20 minutes! Okay. Sunbasket. I'm on the quick and easy meal plan. They have meal plans for everybody's taste. Sunbasket's meal kits always make it easy and convenient to cook healthy, delicious meals at home, no matter how much experience you have in the kitchen. And I suck as a cook, frankly. That's why I have the quick and easy, because it makes me look like a fancy chef. You get everything pre-measured, easy-to-prep ingredients, organic produce delivered to your door, now with 10 to 15-minute recipes. Sunbasket helps you eat your kind of healthy. You can get paleo, gluten-free, lean and clean, vegan, Mediterranean, and more. Mix and match any of their 18 weekly recipes. You can skip or cancel anytime. Go to sunbasket.com/Miller right now. Learn how you can get $35 off your first order. That's sunbasket.com/Miller to get $35 off your first order. Sunbasket.com/Miller. Now back to you, Matt Walsh. So, you actually have said, I would rather have Selena Meyer in the White House than Donald Trump. But don't you feel like we're just like, just fucking anybody? Anybody fictional, anybody real, anybody, just literally anybody would be better.
Well, it's interesting. Yes, totally agree. It's interesting because I have friends who are, again, smart political people who say that Pence is worse than Trump, which I'm sure you've heard too. You might even, well, you listen, might even hold this position.
Listen, Sean, I feel like Sean Kaminsky will tell you.
Mike, please Pence is jump up in. His albino eyebrows in this.
Yeah, Mike Pence is up to Trump Russia and is up to his albino eyebrows. Yeah, he is.
But I mean, I don't see any world where any human being is worse than Trump. Like, I know Mike Pence has his strict religious views on things, yeah.
But he's the treacherous vice presidential candidate and Veep. He's that fucking guy. He's that ambitious.
Roger Furlong.
I know this came from someone in Team Pence. This
Tom James,
anonymous. Yes.
Tom James, played by Hugh Laurie?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. You think he's like that?
Yeah.
Even so, doesn't the... I mean, just anything that Trump does is on a given daily basis. Even that treacherous, planning, scheming president that Mike Pence might be is still not more dangerous than Donald Trump. Like, there's no... I just don't understand that argument.
Well,
I think Mike Pence could get more
Donald Trump
done.
Is, a traitor to the United States. He's an active Russian asset. He is insane.
Keep going.
He is an idiot.
Degrading our foreign policy.
Yes.
He kisses ass to dictators.
Yes. Didn't you love
he trashes the free press and is a threat to the freedom of press. He's a full-on liar, like consistently.
Like every second of every, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Didn't you love
that? I mean, if there's a scale, like, I think that's here and anyone else is here.
Did you see he used Kim Jong-un as a character witness today?
Yes. Yes. We're going to get stuff done together. We're going to get a lot done together or something like that.
Said very nice things. It's like, what? Don't know. Okay. Yes. All right. You said, unfortunately, I think pretty much every character in our show is better than the ones we've got in Washington, which I never thought I'd say. I don't know how it happened, but even Selena, who's a terrible president, I'd rather have than Donald Trump. Mike McClintock, not a great press secretary, but better than the one we've. When we'd rather have fictional characters.
Flawed fictional characters.
Right. Right.
Yes.
From any show, really. Oh, my God. I mean, okay. Can we go back to a half of your time, 1980s? 1980s, Chicago Bears. Now, Mike Ditka, did you ever go to eat at Ditka's? Is that still there? How's Ditka's doing?
I think I've been to Ditka's. I probably have had a pork chop at Ditka's. And my friend Scott gives
that's all that's on the menu. What do you want, meat? That's all we got's meat. What else you want?
He has his own vineyard. There's a Ditka Bold Red you can get. And then
Trumper, right?
And, of course, sausage. Yeah, I bet he... Well, he tried to run... as a Republican governor candidate, but then they shot him down. Somebody inside said, no, you're not
going to. No, that's not going to.
But in this day and age, like, why not? Like,
yeah. His campaign slogan would just be Da Bears.
Da Bears, yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
No, I was thinking that Armando, who created Veep, used to say, like, when Veep came out, people in D.C. were like, it's uncanny how accurate your show is. Like, they were saying, like, the way things get made, the way people talk. Scheming, the ineptitude, the sort of petty vanity that drives, you know, legislation, perhaps.
Yes.
Like, and he would always say, like, it's unfortunate because it's the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's like there's not that level of incompetence is being topped in the real world.
Yeah.
Like, we're not matching it anymore.
No.
And that was a tragedy.
No, well.
That was a tragedy back when we started in our little fiction. So it's crazy.
Remember
it's truly crazy.
Yeah. Okay, we have one other one degree of separation. My tiny baby nephew, Paul Fitzgerald, played the really super dumb congressman.
Oh, on what year?
That I can't remember what season. Paul Fitzgerald. He's like five years younger than me. Huh?
Does he live in upstate New York?
Yes.
I know who he is. Yes he was but he really played, funny.
Wasn't he funny? He played
really
the super dumb
funny.
Congressman that you guys tried to bribe off for his vote.
Yes.
And I just remember Julia's character watching him on TV and going, God, he even walks dumb.
He was
and
great.
Then they were like, what ambassadorship would you like? And he was like, well, you know, I like Dallas, Texas very much. And they were like, well, it needs to be somewhere not in America. He's like, oh, all right, well. And then you lied to him and promised him something that he wasn't going to get. Something, I like Paris then. And then they were like, all right, he's not getting that.
Who's the guy that, oh, it was the Chicago banker who gave a list of his preferences for ambassadorship? Do you remember that one?
Yes.
There was the banker.
Well, he also wanted Manafort. Secretary.
It was in the Manafort. Yeah, he had a list of cabinet positions first.
Secretary of Army.
And then he was like, if you can't get me that. It was like Blagojevich days. It was all for sale.
Remember? Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my favorite Chicago character ever is Rob Blagojevich's wife, Patty.
Oh, yeah.
Rod, tell me you're going to fucking back up that Cub shit, Rob. You tell me. Rod, tell him that Cub shit's not going down. Motherfucker, Rod. This is me recording, right? That Cub shit's over, man.
Yeah. She was Eddie Verdoliak's
like,
daughter.
Even if they didn't have a microphone, you could have heard it. Like, it was.
Oh, yeah. That cutting Chicago bite. Yeah. They're. I think he's probably still in prison. He might be.
Brad, someone's calling from Schamburg.
And then the guy who replaced him, and I can't remember who got it, instantly bought a headstone that said Senator. Like, he was so proud of it.
Wow.
So proud of me.
What was with Rob Blagojevich's? What's that, like a fucking cabbage patch haircut? Like, what did he look? He didn't look like a real person.
Yeah, he had a really thick head of hair. Yeah, he had a he had a helmet. And then he was on...
He was on Apprentice. Celebrity Apprentice.
Was he?
Yes.
Or Get Off the Island Celebrity, whatever.
I think he did both. I think
did he?
Because he was on that with Frangela.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I thought love Frangela.
They are friends of the show. They're always in here.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love them.
Oh, my God. They're the greatest. They're the Second so City. Yeah. Well, no, wait a minute.
She was in my first improv group, Frances Collier.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I know. We have so many one degree separate. Yeah. You also founded Upright Citizens Brigade with Amy Poehler and others.
Ian Roberts and Matt Besser.
Which is like 2 minutes over here on Franklin.
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, my God. All right. So
right. And we have the other one right by the Target. Right. Which is starting. They're going to start building again.
It's going to happen.
Target's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
They voted and they said you can go back to construction. Fantastic. Which is very exciting, I think.
Can we go back to the 1980s Bears again? Now, sure. I was in the Jim McMahon era, who I thought was dreaming. I was in my straight phase then. I was dating the son of the guy who owned the improv. It's a whole long story, Matt. But I also had a brief flirtation with the guy that who was the tight end, wide receiver, something. Very super cute guy.
Capbosa?
No. Keep going.
Reitman? Tim Reitman?
No. Chicago Bears.
Mike Ditka was a tight end, but he was too old for
me. You see what you're saying there.
I guess you could go to 84, 85 roster.
Thornton? Wait, no, Thornton.
Thornton? He was Robo.
Yes, that guy. Yeah, we had a little thing.
Little affair,
a
brief thing. Affair?
No. Okay. Just a flirtation.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jim Thornton, I believe, is his name.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Jim McMahon was the dude, man, at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you were there for that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was the heyday of the Bears. Yeah.
All right. Cubs, I did a little bit.
Yeah.
But just for the Harry Carey.
Yeah. Did you ever meet Harry Carey?
I did not, but he was fantastic. Cubs win. Yeah. Cubs win.
Apparently his wife is still around. I think.
You're kidding.
I didn't even know he had a wife. Like, he didn't really talk about her.
Yeah.
Pinky? It was like, she had a great name like Pinky.
It was like
something.
Drew Carey fucked like Tip O'Neill, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he looked like. Yeah, with the big... Yeah.
Big glasses.
I mean, not literally fucked, but you know what I'm saying.
Their genetic, their genes were like spliced together.
Yeah.
I know what you meant.
But you're out there from, you tweeted, I'm from Darien, Illinois, DuPage County, right in the heart of that great region. Two fantastic candidates who both care about the environment. They're not dummies. Bridget Fitzgerald, Sean Caston this November. I don't mean to say we have all the smartest people, but he's literally a scientist. You did a video, a very funny video where you played his debate. You played
Prepper.
His.
I was prepping him. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That well.
That
I
was
played
funny.
A good idiot.
But yes. You impersonated his. What's his name? Who cares? Let's not say his name. Rostam, whatever.
Peter.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Shady McRepublican.
But your lines in it were great.
Term, call him the six-term climate denier. Climate right. change denier, we'll call him that.
Right. He's an actual scientist, Sean Gaston. Okay, yeah. So you said, as Rostrum, you're full of fake news. You think the environment's a big problem. Hey, trees are green. Flowers are just blooming. It's not a problem. So that's fake science as far as I'm concerned. As Gaston tries to respond, Matt Walsh says, can he do this? Is he cheating? It's funny. I saw
I
it.
Love reliving my jokes. You can read all my jokes. Go back to anything I've done and just read it as if it's like literature.
Yeah. I will. Wait. I want to read your favorite lines because there were some of mine, too. First of all, I don't remember exactly why you had to pee so badly at the podium, but what, it was a diet you were on, a liquid diet? What were you doing?
There was a cleanse that Mike went on. Mike has like various fads he gets into. The boat, the cleanse, the babies. Babies are for life, so that's different. But
I like to think of you as being married to Kathy and Jimmy in real life. I know you're not, but I just think it would be funnier.
She has a great husband already.
She does. Yeah. I know her.
Yeah. Why was he urgent? I think because it's one of those things, if you don't drink, there's so little like carbohydrate or sugar in what you're drinking that if you literally don't drink for 5 minutes. No, get that away from me.
No.
That's bad news. No, that's bad news.
No, it's really healthy popcorn.
It's delicious.
All right, fine.
It's a cracked popcorn.
Jesus. So I think he understood that he needed more hydration, and so that made him pee more, I think, at some point.
I just remember the shot of your leg just going like this at the podium.
Yes. Yes.
Wait. Oh, no, I know your two favorite lines, which are some of mine. Why does soup cost so much, and I'm a grown man? Why don't I stop eating when I'm full?
That was in the Trigger. No, she had a horse. The Barn.
The Barn.
Episode.
The Barn. Yes.
Whatever that horse's name was. That was the episode and Mike and her get drunk. That was so fun. That was a really fun episode to trash the sad.
So everybody asks you this, but you obviously have this huge improv background. A lot of people on the show do. The writers are great.
Yeah.
Did I mention that Matt Walsh is a 2-time Emmy nominee, ladies and gentlemen? 2-time Emmy nominee, Matt Walsh. You know what? Let's give him the fucking Emmy he deserves this year, people. Enough of this nomination bullshit.
Yes, the campaign starts now, a year out.
Yeah, let's get this done.
Out. Yeah, let's get it done. Start knocking on doors. I need some interns to start knocking on doors.
But so people ask you this, like, what degree is it improv and what degree is it writing? What degree do you get to
Like in that case, I would say the show is like, by the time we film it, it's like 95 to 99% written, truthfully.
Yeah.
Because they do rewrite after rewrite. They're tirelessly rewriting. And their willingness to, like, throw a whole script away. Like, they're not worried about the time crunch. Like, Veep is uncharacteristically, once we film the first 5 episodes, the back 5,
right,
they're always chaotic. It's just in the DNA of the show. It's always been that way. And part of it is, like, whatever costs, let's just find the funniest episode. So that being said, by the time we get on set, that script has been combed over, rewritten, broken apart, blah, blah, blah. And we improvise around them as well in the table reads. We'll put the script down and we'll workshop them on their feet. And then the writers will take notes. So it's mostly written. But in that case, the lines you read there, I think one of them might have been improvised and one was written. So there are moments where, like, okay, you're going to trash the set, just riff, and then the writers might throw in some alts. Or they'll just tell you to riff. So there are moments where you can improvise inside it. Yeah,
I've also heard you guys' scripts are really long, too, for a half hour.
Oh, my God, yeah. It's a true half hour, which is an HBO, like 29:30, whereas television is like 21:30. And then I would say they probably are like 50 to 60 pages. Sometimes back in the early days, I think they were like 70 pages, which is ridiculous. It should be like 35, I think, if you're going to shoot a 30-minute episode.
Yeah. You were quoted as saying, it's just, as one episode you said, it's just hard to come up with so many different ways to curse.
Yes. Well, they used to have a guy, Ian Martin, who was the British, one of the British writers. He was an expert at coming up with very florid curses, very creative cursing. He was like the go-to guy when they were stuck for a really funny way to curse.
Right.
You would do it.
Well, we learned that about when Trump went to Scotland. They had the best curse words for curse names for him over there.
Oh, what was it?
Oh, did they?
Like the tangerine
news did?
Like the tangerine ass maggot?
Wink maggot.
Yeah, wink maggot was very popular.
No, tangerine wink maggot, something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Sean's got a list for you.
Oh my God.
Oh, really? Wow.
These were like just appearing on the internet, sort of?
Signs. Yes.
When really?
You were protesting you tiny-fingered, Cheeto-faced, ferret-wearing shit-gibbon. You polyester cockwomble. You incompressible jizz trumpet. You weasel-headed fuck-nugget. leather-faced shit toboganist, you cock-juggling thunder cunt.
Oh my God, those are amazing.
All right.
So right. Those were on signs as he drove.
Yes.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
God bless Scotland.
God bless Scotland.
And the Brits too. They're really good at
they
that.
Take cussing a new level.
They
Julia
do.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus, how fucking, I mean, how great is she? Like, I just, you know what? Okay, I don't know if people know, but so Dreyfus is from Dreyfus Fund, so she already was born to amazing wealth. Is incredibly successful. I mean, it's not just Seinfeld when people go, oh, you lucked into Seinfeld. I mean, she's so talented. You know, The Adventures of Christine and now this show. Like, she's just a force of nature, comedically.
Yes. She's a national treasure.
I know. She really is. I mean,
think she's getting a Mark Twain Award at some point.
Well, she should be.
Yeah, I think she is. I think she is.
But, you know, I mean, even, you know, and what she's like you politically. And then she, you know, what was the tweet about, like, you know, one in however many women will get breast cancer today, it's me.
I know that.
I mean, fuck,
she really,
man.
Yeah, she's the real deal. Like, whatever you think she is, she is. Like, she's not like a public face. Like, she really is, like, yeah. Hardworking, sweet, thoughtful, super talented, tireless, always chasing the best comedy, receptive to input, a great collaborator. Like, I'm very fortunate, we all are, to like land in a show with someone like that as at the lead of it, because she sets the pace, and there's, you know, there's no nonsense when somebody's that good and they're always there and they're always working, and it's like you have no excuse but to be on your, you know, best focused behavior at all times. So
yeah. No, I mean,
we're all
just
very fortunate. And she's really fun. She's a good hang. Like, she's legitimate.
No, that's everything nice. I've heard. But I also think it's just extraordinary that, like, she didn't have to do any of this. And she after Seinfeld, she didn't have to do anything. And the fact that she's so creatively and politically driven and is, you know, just like what you've said, the nicest person in the world. I mean, it's just that even that just gives you hope in Trump's America. You know,
yeah.
She is not Selina Meyer. She is really she's almost like the anti-Selina Meyer, right?
Yeah, in real life, yeah. I think she's not an angel. Like, she has a good sense of humor and stuff
that. Well, I would hate her.
But I mean, I think we all cling to that. Like, tiny acts of kindness will hopefully keep the world sane and keep the world civil. So, but yeah, she had her sharing her ordeal with breast cancer was super brave. Like, I personally, I would just retreat. Like, I would just, like, I can't deal with this, let alone talk about it with people and be an example of how to battle this and give strength to those who are going through it. Like, that is an exceptional person that can do that.
Yeah.
And so,
because you know what, you go, she's doing that without writers and lighting and makeup, and she's going, you know what, I'm dealing with this like everybody does.
Yeah, and in those situations, like, your life is threatened. So I would just retreat to like a very small circle of people and just weep and pray to whoever, you know?
Yeah.
So she is remarkable, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it is interesting for people like you and her that are, and I'm sure many of you on the show that are so smart and politically aware, that, you know, they say the same thing to us, Matt, all of us that are in the comedy world, like, oh, this must be so great for you, the Trump thing. And you're like, I guess, you know, like, good for comedy, but horrible for America if you actually care about that, right? I mean, and I know you've been quoted about that too, that you're just going, well, yeah, but this is quite a while ago, passed from funny to not really so funny and really fucking terrifying, right?
Yeah. I totally agree. I think, who's making money off of Trump? I guess like CNN and MSNBC, like the networks that are benefiting from people's engagement. Because there is tremendous engagement now because people are so furious at how mismanaged the executive branch is. Like, we're terrified. Yeah. So the benefit of that and obviously the birth of this like unified women's movement, knock on wood, I think that alone could swing the November election, because those are the people that are showing up in big numbers since Trump got elected.
Yeah.
Those are the people that, as a group, you know, as a singular voting block, like, I have great hope in that group of people.
Me too.
Alone.
I've said this blue wave is going to be female, and we see woman after woman winning, and people of color and women of color, and it's exciting. And I think it's, I mean, you know,
what's her name, Steve? I'm getting her first name wrong. Abrams from
Stacey.
Georgia.
Stacey Abrams.
Doing a show at UCB.
You did a thing.
Tonight.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing an improv show. She's doing the monologues.
It'll be too late when people hear
that's
this.
That's fine.
But okay. But
God bless
you.
I'm going to get to meet her. I guess I'm bragging that I get to meet her because she's interesting.
She's fantastic.
No, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah. She's fantastic. Yeah. You know, but here's the thing. When people keep asking you about, like, you know, your show and the Trump administration, like, it is true. There are similarities. Everybody's horrible at their job. Like, this is not for comedy. This is our country. And, you know, like, I think you were quoted as saying, everyone's terrible at their job, Mike exceptionally so, but nobody is really great, including Selena. I mean, the latest story we just heard today, speaking of Sean Spicer having to come out and go, this is the biggest inauguration crowd, Trump had the photographer Photoshop the photo of his inauguration crowd so it looked bigger than it actually was.
Really?
Because as Rudy Giuliani said, there's no truth. Truth isn't truth. I mean, that's beyond the comedy of Mike McClintock or Sean.
Right. That's like 1984 Orwellian, yes. Like doublespeak. Yes. Yes. Again, yeah. Another argument for why Mike Pence isn't more dangerous than Donald Trump. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. 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 I hear you.
He's not going to start World War III.
No. Exactly.
Here's the other thing you said recently, which I thought is so apropos to this Trump administration. Mike is loyal. He's been with Selena for 20 years through the good and the bad. It's akin to an addiction. You just need a little bit of goodness and you're mm-hmm. still hooked on her. Mm-hmm. So whenever she's giving you positive feedback or praising you, mm-hmm. it makes you light and airy. You said, so one nice moment makes up for 20 not so nice moments. Yes, because he's still looking around the corner thinking, oh no, she likes me. She's just in a bad mood. I mean, how many people in this administration, like, what? Because you hear about this treatment and all these books corroborate each other. You're like, what the fuck are they doing? He's horrible to everybody. Why is anybody loyal to him? I mean.
Well, I think one of it is, like, the celebrity of it. Like getting that position, like we talked about, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Like, you knock around D.C., you get no respect, and now you have access the Oval Office, and so all these people who were shitty to you now want to talk to you. So there's that element. Like, if you're in the center, in the way that, like, Al Gore wanted a closet office, no matter how small it was, right next to the door to the Oval Office. Like, he wanted access. So everybody wants access to that because that gives them power to any room they walk into. So there's that part of it. But after that, like, I guess people make money if there's some weird way where you're apologizing for this dirty animal that's our president, so you can go to your coal guy and say, I'm going to get you this. I'm going to get the EPA to roll back this. But when I'm out, you give me a little of this. And it's not official until I get out. You know what I mean? Like,
I think
that goes on.
Yeah, but these people are all going to be tainted, Matt. I think forever. I mean, anyone that signed up for this, you know, someone tweeted about, like, yeah, you know what we called people that, you know, tried to rein in Hitler, but, you know, still worked with him? Nazis. We called them Nazis. Like, you know, I mean, it's just, this is not a hero, that all these sources that are anonymous. These are not heroes. This is not how our Constitution, our country works. You come forward, you say to Congress, and you say to the country, it is time for the 25th Amendment or impeachment. This man is dangerously unstable and unfit.
Yeah, I think there might be, though, positions like the way people imagine Mattis perhaps is like, okay, we're not going to assassinate him, okay, sir? Like, Trump would literally, I think they've said it, he wanted to assassinate someone.
And Assad.
Yeah.
Just Assad, the entire country of Syria.
Yes, okay. So I think there's value to somebody who's in that position, you know, and say the military side, to go, okay, sir, I heard you. We're going to work on that. And then telling everyone, don't worry, we're not going to assassinate anyone. I'll come back and talk him down. So there's that. There is a justifiable position to, like, saying, like, I will continue to work for this guy because I know I can knock the gun out of his hand, or I can knock the nuke out of his hand.
Yeah.
But after that, I agree with you. Like, there are people who should speak up, like, or should quit. Like, I think you have to quit. Like, I think ethically you have no ground to stand on if you're, like, working for the devil, like Spicer did and Huckabee Sanders or whoever, like, even Sessions, like, all them. Like, you have to quit. You can't work for that.
Yeah. Okay, so you said it's sort of a misfortune. I've been a terrible press secretary for 6 years, and then lo and behold, the embodiment of that takes office in real life, meaning Sean Spicer. I honestly feel like that at the pony. Mike is better than our current press secretary. We do have conversations in the writer's room about the plausibility that how big a buffoon Mike can be, right? You can't be that big a otherwise it's not believable. So we reined him in certain arenas, like at the podium. Right, and then you... And you were just saying, like, in 5 minutes of Sean Spicer, like, oh, he's worse than McClintock. Like, people were saying that before you were saying it.
On his first day.
Right.
On his first day.
Right.
Yeah, there were discussions, like, about, like, because, Mike, there's a lot of great comedy. Like, I love playing, like, sort of dumb person or getting away with the dumbest. Like, there was a bit that we discovered in rehearsal where I'm pitching Selena jokes, and then she turns her chair backwards and leaves the room. And I continue to pitch jokes to her for like 5 minutes, not realizing there's no one in the chair. Like, I love stuff like that. So I love pushing the boundaries of stupidity. But there was always a plausibility thing. Like, in that podium, when he's in front of the cameras, when he's in front of the press,
right,
he has to be believably good or decent at his job. So, well, we've made great efforts towards that.
Right. You said there's something outrageously funny about the bold-faced lying that's going on in a general way, just the blatant denial of facts, whether it's climate change or crowd sizes. We were just talking about them. But, I mean, it really is, like, you're right, funny Orwellian. There's a fine line where they just, he's literally saying, oh, Lester Holt fudged the tape where I said I fired Comey over Russia. Oh, and the Access, he apparently privately tells people the Access Hollywood tape is fake. And even though he apologized for it, like, it just, this is the world we're in where, this is there another word for lying? It's not even lying, right? It's
pathology? Like, instinct? Like, drive? My question is, like, explain the family dynamic. Like, I want to know what's going on with, you know, the family aspect. Like, Don Jr., the kids. Tell me your take on all of that. That's what I want to understand, because I don't understand that. Like, his daughter. Tell me, what's your take on her?
Well,
like... Explain it.
I think our take on that makes us all barf, because...
Educate me.
What father? You're a father. You have three kids, right?
Yeah.
What? Who goes on Howard Stern and says, yeah, my daughter's a hot piece of ass? Like, no, you can say you'd bang her in front of me. That's fine. Like, what would happen to that guy talking about your daughter?
So do you think she seeks his approval still as an adult? You do.
Yes.
You do.
I think they all do.
Do you think she married Kushner to, like... Her dad was like, bring a nice dowry into the Trump businesses.
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's called Eric retarded. Just like he's called
Sessions. Never said that word, Stephanie.
Baron.
It's like that. He said, I've never, not only did I not call Jeff Sessions retarded, I've never said the word ever. Cut to like a montage of him saying it on the Howard Stern show, calling a bunch of people retarded. Like, I would love to see Mike McClintock in that situation. Like, if reporters played the tape for you.
In that
and
moment?
And then, like, what you would...
We happen to have a compilation of you saying that. That's a great premise. I'll have to pitch that to the writers.
You also said, I would love to see Mike elevated to pundit celebrity, where he gets to sit on CNN or MSNBC post-debate and just meander on and probably screw that up as well.
I think that'd be really funny, because I think there's a certain, like... Mike, when the show started, he was sort of aging out of his job anyways, and
right,
he didn't understand social media, and he didn't understand the 24-hour news cycle. Like, that was a revolution to him, because when we talked to these press secretaries, like, the first couple seasons, I talked to a bunch for Clinton and Bush. And
who'd you talk to?
Mike McCurry,
oh, sure,
Jay Carney, Dee Dee Meyer, to name a few, and they would, like, I think it was Mike McCurry who said, who was Clinton's guy, he said he would, like, read 8 newspapers in the morning, like Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, LA Times, Atlanta, whatever. Cover the nation.
Yeah.
And get a broad Christian Science Monitor. Get a real perspective of, like, different takes on the world. And he felt like he knew the news cycle. And then he could face the press that day. And then he could chill out after the press conference. And then the next morning, he could learn what he needed to know. But that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, like, Mike started. He started in that world where I can read the paper and understand what's going on.
Yes. You also tweeted as yourself, Mr. Matt
Walsh. You did a lot of research, by the way. I want to, like, give you a little something there.
Listen, I'll give you some fake radio applause. Good morning, everybody. We're on 105.9 WCKG Chicago, the most music in the morning, with Mr. Matt Walsh.
Which doobie you be?
What?
What was the Doobie
they
Brothers?
They ain't related, but they do be brothers. You could just play whatever... Now here it is, China Grove.
I love that.
They ain't related,
that's a good
but they
one.
Doobie Brothers. That never gets less funny, everybody. We got tickets to Sean Caston's fundraiser with Mr. Matt Walsh, everybody, coming up on 105.9 WCKG Chicago's home of rock and roll.
The Rock.
Okay.
That was good.
So
thank
Matt,
you for channeling that.
Thank you.
Your former life.
Thank you, Matt. But you tweeted, John McCain was a politician I didn't always agree with, but admired. Would have loved to met him, had a drink even.
Yeah.
That's a Chicago in you talking. He spoke from the hip. He summarized our current president perfectly when he said, flattery secures his friendship, criticism, his enmity. And it is Selena, but like, again, not in a funny way. Selena doesn't actually have the nuclear codes.
No.
I mean, it just, it, whether it's Putin or Kim Jong-un, I mean, it just, it's. It is hard to wrap your head around, right? That I mean, my dad ran with Goldwater, as I said, who was the one that asked Nixon to step down. And I cried several times during the McCain funeral because my dad was buried at Arlington. He was a prosecutor at Nuremberg. He was chairman of the RNC. They all have to be spinning in their graves. It not just, I was saying it felt like the death of decency of my dad and Goldwater's party, not just the death of John McCain. And didn't it feel that way? You just, there was something happening at that service where you were like, wow, okay, these are all, whether you agree with them or not, whatever side of the aisle you're on, decent public servants, smart, decent people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's like a civility and a willingness to like have discourse resolve conflict in
right.
And facts were facts. Like,
right.
We can all agree on like a set of data, like, all right, this is a fact, the earth is round. We can get past certain things, and that in this current environment doesn't exist. But I will say, like, there is at some point there, I think the world is unanimously rejecting this guy.
I do
like
too.
I'm slightly optimistic that reason will regain its foothold. I do just feel like there's this groundswell of fucking like enough, like every country, every leader is kind of like, this is a fucking madman idiot, and it's a and I don't know why these people, the Republican power brokers, aren't like relinquishing.
Because I think some of them are involved. I think some of them are complicit. I think some of them knew. Some of them have Russian money. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, this is not normal. This is
no. I know, and it's so competitive. Like I understand, at some point, like fuck everything. A Democrat says, I just want to get a victory, you know, like the way they attack Obamacare. They don't even, they just know his name's on it. Like many of these people, they just want to strike it down because a black man pushed it through possibly, you know what I mean? Like it's that for some of them. And so at some point though, I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't know.
Did you, I mean,
maybe
obviously
it's the red
Chicago,
wine. I have had a glass of red wine.
You've not just had red wine. You've had Cameron Hughes lot 627 Pinot Noir.
I'll take a half a glass.
Oh, well,
please.
Okay. Absolutely.
Bartender. And then you can ring me out.
No.
Thank you. Anything my friends need.
No charge for you, my
friends. Anything
friend.
My friends here need. Mm, hook them up.
Okay. Thanks for coming to Billy Goat Tavern. Huh?
Have you been?
I got another organ. I know everything in Chicago. Ask me something.
Where is the best hot dog?
No, I don't eat hot
dogs. Best pizza. You don't eat meat? Did you when you were living there, did you eat?
Oh, pizza. Hang on. Deep dish? I don't, you know,
whatever
what?
You
I'm
want.
Sorry.
Your take.
We're going to have a fucking fight.
Your take.
Deep dish pizza is, it's not fucking pizza. It's fucking cake, man. It's fucking cake with shit on it. It's a
I'm
casserole.
I'm not a huge deep
it's
dish
not,
guy.
I'm a New
I'm
York
not a
pizza.
Huge deep, I'm not a huge deep dish guy, so I'm not going to.
Oh, all right.
I kind of agree with you, but if you were going to get pizza in Chicago, when you
what
go back,
the, what
where
is
would
the deep
you go?
Dish? Where is it, the deep dish place?
I like Lou Malnati's. It's kind of
yes,
a deep dish.
Yes, it's fantastic. Yeah. If you want cake or casserole or whatever it is. I know, actual pizza like New York. Okay. Now we've fucked everything up. I was so Chicago-centric, but he agrees with me, so it's still a happy ending.
It worked out.
What year did they reverse the flow of the Chicago River?
I don't know,
have the answer.
I live right off Wacker, which...
upper or lower?
I lived on I had a condo on Randolph Drive, right on the... Yeah, well, I lived off on Lowell Avenue. Up on off Pulaski.
Sure.
Yeah, because I'm a Polack.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So I lived up there the first year, and then I bought a condo on a Randolph right off, you know, and then I got fired. And right after I bought a condo, I was like, oh, I'm what now? I'm
You're fired.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah, and we were, what we were, oh, what were we saying about Oak Park? The funny thing about Oak Park, there's no parking in Oak Park.
Not bad. Flying. Not bad. Is there like a documentary about Oak Park right now? It's a very well integrated city, I think. Somebody,
oh, is it?
Or it is a city, I guess, or yeah. suburb.
Yeah.
I think there's a good documentary.
Well, I came from Buffalo. Well, actually, Lackport, which is right up the transit from Buffalo and Lackawanna and Tonawanda and Cheektowaga. So I already was into the Flat A worked perfectly for me in Chicago.
Oh.
Or in Schaumburg.
Similar. Did you ever meet Tim Russert? Isn't he a big Buffalo guy?
Yes, yes.
Yes, he was a big Buffalo
guy. Yeah, he was from Buffalo. Yeah. No, I didn't meet him, though.
That's okay.
Yeah. All right, he's dead. Okay.
You don't have to be sad. He had a great
All
life.
Right. Listen, Alec Baldwin says 25 guys could play his Joker movie part, and one of them is Matt Walsh.
What?
Have you heard about this?
No.
They said that you could play Bruce Wayne's dad in the new Joker movie.
Yeah.
Because the director is, you've worked with a ton of times.
Peyton Reed?
No.
Todd Phillips. Wait.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So Alec Baldwin is saying, like...
He dropped out.
Okay.
Played Bruce Wayne's dad.
Matt Walsh, as busy as this Phillips film veteran is, the Veep comedian could readily deliver a gravitas with a wink performance to lend the role an offbeat twist. Well, here, you just take this home with you.
I got to get this to my agent.
All right.
Hold on. I got to make a call. John Sachs at UTA, please.
Yes, I'm giving you breaking news.
Who wrote this?
I don't know.
Some writer. Okay.
Travis, send it to him.
Thank you.
For fuck's sake.
Guys, I gotta go. I gotta go.
All right.
Knock on Todd Phillips'
Matt Walsh
door.
Has to go, everybody.
I think we'll get you cast in the next Joker movie, huh?
All right. Well, you know, God bless the United States, but
is it gonna be a comedy?
God bless the United States.
Yeah, but Matt Walsh has to fucking go now because he's got to call his agent. So, listen, Matt Walsh from Veep and from just general awesomeness and from Chicago and shit like that. God bless you for doing this for us. Thank you.
What do you mean? This is fun.
This was fun.
I love coming down to the studio here.
Please, won't you have a little more Cameron Hughes Lot 627 Pinot Noir? It's delightful, isn't it?
Are they a sponsor of the show?
No, Matt. What are you talking about?
No, you just like them.
Yes.
You liked them before they gave you free cases.
It's from Oregon.
It is delicious. What is it, the Willamette? My wife is from Oregon.
Oh!
She's
well,
from
this
Portland.
Is no wonder you like lapping this up.
Yes,
what?
I do.
That seemed weird and
the
dirty.
Willamette.
And
no.
I apologize. I don't know what I meant by that, Matt Walsh. I'm so sorry.
Don't
Go
apologize.
Sean Caston! Go Cubs! Cubs win! Go Bears. All right, I'm done. I love you, Matt Walsh.
I love
Thanks,
you,
honey.
Too. Thank you. This was fun, you guys. Thank you.
New season of Veep. Do it!